Some of that is what we're talking about right now. A couple of Sundays ago, we began our eighth year of leadership at the Church Covington. The Church Covington itself, amen. This church is much older than 8 years. It's been here a long, long time, but we are just beginning our eighth year together, and we really are doing this together. And it feels like we're just getting started. It really does, after a pandemic and after broken legs and all of the things that we've dealt with in the last couple of years. It feels like it's time to run, and it's time to step into that God flow of divine favor, and not just corporately, not just here as a church family or as a house of worship, but I feel this, and I want this for your family. Whether you're a family of one or a family of six or anywhere in between, this is for your family too. It's for you individually. So I'm just talking about eight things that really are in my spirit right now, things that are important to me in this season, things that are important to us as a church, and we are applying these to our lives. We're applying these to our homes and to our families as well. And I only covered one of them last Sunday, and I've got to be finished by next Sunday, so I've got to hurry today and make hay. Anybody remember what we talked about last Sunday? Passion, absolutely. We talked about passion, and it was powerful, and I've heard from so many of you this week, and I'm thankful. What are we passionate about? What is motivating us? What is moving us? What is stirring our hearts? So passion was the first one today. I'm going to jump into the second one, and again, they're not necessarily in any kind of order. This today is funny. I've looked over these notes so many times because none of these go together necessarily, and yet I'm trying to put them all into a message that is cohesive and makes sense. But it's just eight things. It's eight things for our eighth year that I feel are important. First is passion. The second is imagination. Imagination. Creativity and dreams and the question of whether or not we are fresh, whether or not we are innovative. I feel like sometimes 8 years in, you all respectively and kindly and in an honoring way are saying, Pastor, what's next? What are your ideas? What are your plans? And you're waiting on me to come up with every new idea, and I'm happy to execute, and I'm going to generate plenty of ideas and plenty of vision items and task items. But I feel like in this eighth year, we need dreamers, and we need people with imagination, and we need builders. I've told you from day one that it would not be Pastor Darrell and PK by ourselves. We would not do this alone. It would not be a one-man show or a one-couple show, but it's going to be all of us collaborating, all of us reaching, all of us stretching, all of us giving, all of us seeing what it is that God wants to do and what dreams he will put into our hearts. James is the half-brother of Jesus and has a book bearing his name. And I've been loving this book lately. It is known for its wisdom. And when you read the book of James. I love his telling us in James 1:8, a double-minded man, he's unstable in all of his ways. So if I'm going to be successful, if I am going to achieve anything, if I am going to attain anything, not just me personally, but you and I collectively, us as a people and as a church, if we are going to achieve anything in this eighth year, it's going to be because we are singular of thought, and we are focused, and we are locked in, and we are narrow and myopic on the things of God and the purpose of God. So he says a double mind, unstable in all his ways. And just before this eighth verse, in verse number 6, he describes such a person. He said, the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You see, James understood it is impossible for a man to achieve what he wants until he first knows what he wants. It's impossible for you to arrive at a destination if you have never determined the destination that you want to arrive at. Some people just go out for Sunday drives, and that's fantastic if you got the classic car, or you have maybe the Sportster that goes a little fast, or maybe you're just into cruise and just get out for a Sunday drive and really no thought about where I'm going, no plan, no direction, just wherever we end up, wherever this vehicle and this road takes us. That's fantastic for relaxation, but it's terrible for leadership. Doesn't work for leadership just to, well, this Sunday, whatever it's going to be. Y'all just sing whatever you want, do whatever you want. Just however it turns out, it'll just be whatever it is. And you see, too many people today have no idea what they want out of their lives, and therefore have no idea where they are going. That's not the way we want to operate as a church. That's not the way you want to operate a home or a marriage. You want to have purpose. You want to have passion, because it all comes full circle. When you have passion and imagination, they go hand in hand. Again, what are we passionate about as a church? What is it that matters to you personally? And what informs that answer? Are you being driven by the winds of indecision? As a church, what is informing that answer of what we want to do and what we want to accomplish and what we want to achieve? Well, I saw this church over here doing this, and that's cool. And I saw another church over there doing that, and that's neat. And maybe we'll take a little of this, and maybe we'll take a little of that. Here's where I am in our eighth year. Lord, what are you asking this church to do? What are you calling us to do? It's all right if it's out of step with every other church. It's okay if it's unique and it's our lane that God has called us to run in. My personal opinion is there's entirely too much copy and paste in the church anyway. We got to get a word for our church in this community at this time. What is it that God is asking us to do? Because if we are double-minded, we are unstable. So here is my prayer today. God, narrow our focus to match what truly matters to you, so that we are in agreement and in alignment to your word. Because here's the truth. If I live without direction, if I live without purpose, if I live without passion, then ultimately I live without satisfaction. We'll say that again, because there's a lot of truth. If I live without direction, If I live without purpose, if I live without passion, then I live without satisfaction. So what am I doing? I've got to imagine my dreams. I want you to imagine your dreams. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Write the vision. Make sure it's plain. Make sure it can be understood. Make sure it is clear. Make sure it is legible, not only to the reading, but to the understanding. Write a vision for your life. This looks like vision boards for some people. This looks like journaling for some people. This looks like using Notes app on your smartphone and typing it in, not just randomly, but here, Lord, is what I feel like you're speaking to me for 2025. Here is what I feel like you're saying to me for the next 6 weeks or this season that I'm in right now. I'm going to write this vision down. And Lord, I want the instructions to be so clear that any new person can read it and just start running with us immediately. I want it to be so clear. Maybe that's our onboarding process. Maybe that is our welcoming process. If you're our guest today, I make no bones about it. I want every guest to be touched. I want every guest their hand is shook and their shoulder is clapped. You say, oh, that's just kind of ginned up or hyped up. No, it's genuine. It's genuine from our heart because I want you to be able to hear this vision today and say, you know what? This is something I can run with. This is something I can be a part of. This is something that I need in my life. So it doesn't take 6 months for you to just walk around and wonder around and who am I and where am I and what is the process here? No, we want to make this so clear that anybody can read this and say, you know what, I can do that. Sign me up. I want to be a part of what God's doing in this church. We've got to imagine our dreams. And then we have to visualize our dreams. Because after you write it down, after you record it, you must visualize it. You've got to see it come to pass. This may sound weird to you, but everything I'm doing at 52 years of age is something that I dreamed about at 22 years of age. Everything I'm doing now in this season of my life is something that I visualized, something that I dreamed of, something that I saw myself doing 30 years ago, 35 years ago, when I was 14, just beginning to preach the word and didn't know anything about what I was even talking about. I was dreaming of a day that God would place me in a church like this and set me in a house like this, so that I could do what he called me to do. You have to visualize your dreams because Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If there is no vision, then people are dying. People are struggling. People are just lost even within themselves. Because the truth is, people get bored with jobs. People get bored with their pets. People get bored with spouses. Some start college and quit college. Guess what? People get bored with churches too. You say that's not right. No, it's not right. But that's what we have. That is the culture. And so we are here to engage people, and we are here to connect people, and we are here to grow people and to mature people. And let me just slip this in right here, and I'll be back in just a moment. But one of the eight is commitment. There has to be a commitment. Commitment is one of the eight. And I'm not going to stay on this long because I feel like I preach this pretty hard every Sunday. But let me just say this. I will not gimmick or hype people to Jesus. If you do this, it's going to be because this is what you want and this is what you desire, because my conviction is if I have to gimmick you in, then I've got to gimmick you to stay. And this has got to be about the heart. Lord, there is something calling me and drawing me. There is something wooing me. I see these students on stage. I see 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 11-year-olds on this stage singing. I want it to be a commitment that is born in their heart, so that when they're 18 or 21 or 25 or 37, there is still a commitment that is driving them and pulling them and keeping them in the house of the Lord. Commitment, commitment that lasts. If you, Lord, I don't have time for this, but if you read John chapter 6, Jesus, it's a long chapter, but Jesus had fed the 5,000 with loaves and fish, and he told them, I am the bread of life. I'm doing this miracle because I want you to see that I am the bread. I am your source. I am the supply in your life. Here's a piece of fish, but no, the one who's giving you the fish, I am the bread of life. That's what Jesus is trying to communicate. Guess what? They came back the next day wanting him to feed them again. He starts trying to teach them. They're like, no, we don't want to hear any teaching. We just want more bread and we want more fish. And you read John 6:66. It's interesting. Numbers, chapter and verse, John 6:66. The Bible said they went back. They left. They walked away because he would not feed them loaves and fish. Because if I gimmick you in, I've got to gimmick you to stay. You're missing the message. And I don't want you to miss the message that I, Jesus, saying, I am the bread of life. You know what? This is slower growth, but it's better growth. It's not crowd. I promise you, I've seen it all and been a part of way too much of it where we can just get the crowd up high, and just get everybody. I saw a pastor one time that, this is a true story, a pastor announced that Oprah Winfrey would be in their upcoming Sunday service. They had thousands and thousands of people, just standing room only, everybody, nobody interested in Jesus, everybody interested in Oprah. And guess what? Oprah was not there. Pastor never said a word about it, never mentioned, hey, she couldn't make it, or, you know, something happened, or nothing was ever said. I presume he was just hoping to get all those thousands of people in the room and sing the right song, and they would say, well, all right, I don't care about Oprah, I just want to stay at this church. And maybe somebody decided that. But there was a lot of people all over social media. Why would this church tell us this is happening? Why? Because if you gimmick people in, you have to gimmick people to stay. It's slower growth, but it's more mature growth. To just say, you know what? Jesus is going to be the star every Sunday. Jesus is going to be the priority. Well, entertain me. I don't know if we're going to be able to entertain you. I can't compete with billion-dollar holiday Hollywood budgets. But you know what? We got Jesus in the room every Sunday, and he heals, and he delivers, and he makes a way, and he blesses, and he encourages. I don't know about you, but I'll take Jesus over everybody and everything. I am committed to him. Committed. Let's go back to imagination for just a moment, because it takes us to another of our eight, Acts 2 and 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. It's on the screen. I want you to see it. In the last days, I believe we're living in the last days. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters, that 11-year-old helping lead worship, that 15-year-old singing the song, That 16-year-old running production, that 18-year-old leading church kids, I'm going to pour this out, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Pastor, what are your ideas? What are your dreams? What are your vision? You know what? You've heard my heart. You've heard my wife's heart. You've learned us. You've spent 7 years hearing what we have to say. You've listened to us. You trust us, and I'm grateful. I'll never take that for granted and always cherish and respect that. But now I'm asking God to put vision and dream in your hearts. I'm asking God to speak to you. I'm asking God to raise you up, because the pastor's not the only one anointed in this house. You are anointed. I'm not the only one called. You are called. I'm not the only one with a vision. You have a vision. And when you and I get together, when we start working together, when we come together, there is no telling what God will do in this church and for this community. For us to accomplish this, we got to be together. Together. I love a story of Joshua leading the children of Israel. They come to Jericho, and God says, I'm giving you the city of Jericho, but it's this walled city. It's this great, incredibly well-defended city. The walls were wide enough that they literally held chariot races on the tops of those walls. I mean, massive, massive walls. This city was incredibly fortified. But the word of the Lord to Joshua to give to the people was that you are to march, and you are to march in silence. You're going to march not saying a word. You're going to march, and you're going to listen. Listen to the trumpet sound. The trumpet is a type of the word of God. I want you to march for 6 days and just hear the word of the Lord. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march seven times. And when they completed the seventh time around on the seventh day, Joshua said, you know what? You've listened, you've obeyed, you've marched. And as we complete the seventh time on the seventh day, as we complete the seventh year and begin eight, as we end seven, it's time for you to shout. They had marched in silence, but at the end of seven, the Bible said that they shouted with a great shout, and when they shouted, the walls fell down flat. I keep hearing that word in my spirit for somebody, that it's time to shout. It's time to lift up our voice. It's time to declare there is going to be revival in this community. There is going to be breakthrough. There is going to be deliverance. Somebody is going to be set free. I believe it just as sure as I stand here preaching this word in your hearing today. Here's what I know. If they would have gotten to the end of seven times around, it was roughly about 8 acres, history says. They're marching around an 8-acre piece of property. And when they marched that seventh time on that seventh day, if they would have gotten to the end of their marching, if they had stayed quiet, nothing would have happened. If they would have marched and they stayed quiet and Joshua shouted, nothing would have happened. So it's time to get this. It's time to receive this. Because it's not just Pastor Darrell in the position of Joshua saying, come on, let's shout. Come on, come on, come on. And we're saying, I don't know. I'm going to watch it another year. I'm going to think about this another little while. Nah, I'm going to give it some more time. I'm going to see. I don't know if I'm really interested right now. No, today is the day. Today is the opportunity. Today is the time. So look at this again. In the last days, God said, I will pour out of my spirit on all people. Your sons, daughters, they're going to prophesy. Young men are going to see visions. Old men are going to dream. Don't miss this. The Spirit precedes vision. Spirit is one of our eight. Spirit has to be one of our eight. We have no choice. We are a Spirit-filled house, and we ain't going back. I make no apology for that. When they were inviting me to come 8 years ago, that was one of the primary reasons. We have gotten away from our roots. We have gotten away from what we know is right, and we need His Spirit in this church again. We need a move of God's Spirit. We need His presence working in this house again. Are you sure? We're sure. Is that really what you want? It's really what we want. Am I going to move all the way across the country? I'm not moving for no dead church. I'm not moving for no quiet church. I'm not uprooting my life for no just folded arms kind of church. No, there needs to be something moving and something stirring and something shaking and the Spirit of God breathing and moving in this house. What were they talking about? They were talking about His Spirit. It matters. And we need it. We need it. This is one commitment I can keep because it's like fire shut up in my bones. Pastor, are you one of them? Guilty. I'm one of them. I'll always be mindful of everybody's belief and everybody's tradition, and I'll always be respectful of wherever you came from. But listen, where you came from is not where we're trying to stay. We're trying to get where God has called us to go. We're trying to do what God has asked us to do. We want to be a part of the move of God's Spirit. I love Hebrews 6. Verses 4 through 6, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, everybody say enlightened, it's impossible for people who have been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. He said, people that have tasted this, people that have experienced this, people that have felt this, they cannot ever get away from this. It's impossible to experience this and go back to anything less. Why? Because I felt something. I experienced something. Something is moving in my heart. Something is moving in my life. Something is working in my life. I can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. And guess what? I don't want to get away from it because I love this too much. We were planting the church in Texas, and those first couple of years, I just felt like I had to be so careful. I had to be, you know, so mindful of everyone's belief and everyone's persuasion and where everybody was coming from. And those first couple of years, I was miserable. I mean, I was preaching so careful. I was just standing there, just didn't want to move, didn't want to sweat, didn't want to raise my, I would just, you know, let me just be this, you know, good preacher that you came expecting. Let me just this calm, just ordinary, just, you know, without passion, without anything. And I for about 2 years, I was doing that and thinking, you know what, I have missed God. This is not what God intended. And then hell broke out, because hell always breaks out. And when hell broke out, I don't know, I just had to go to preaching again. And when I went to preaching again, revival broke out and people started getting saved and miracles started happening. I don't know, maybe I need to go to preaching again. It's not that it's me, but the Bible said the Spirit is subject to the prophet. This prophet, this preacher believes that God can and will and wants to do miracles in your life. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's high blood pressure. I don't care if it's back pain. I believe God can heal you right now, sitting in this room, sitting in this atmosphere online with us today. I believe His Spirit has the power to do what we need Him to do. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. So where are we? We got passion. We've got imagination. We've got commitment. We've got His Spirit. We've got things that are important. And I'm going to close today, and I'm going to get us to five today, and you don't want to miss next Sunday. It's going to be just what we need. But here's the deal. I don't want to do any of this by myself. I don't want to do any of this alone. And you know what? We don't have to do this alone. Why? Because God has given us relationships. It's one of the eight. God has given us relationships. I'm so glad that we don't have to worship alone. I'm so glad we don't have to pray alone. I'm so thankful that we do not have to serve alone. You and I, we have each other. We've got relationships, and our relationships are important, and they matter to us, and they are meaningful to us, especially in a culture climate where everyone is trying to go it alone. I don't want to be hurt anymore, it's just me, myself, and I. I don't want anybody. I don't need anybody. I'm keeping everybody at arm's distance away because we've been hurt and we've been wounded and we've been disappointed. And guess what? The devil designed it all. He's good at his job, folks. You know what I say today? I say, devil, you're fired. Because I love you. And there's nothing you can do to make me hate you. I don't care if we're different colors. None of that matters to me. I love being in relationship with you. And I'm thankful. I refuse to go it alone. I want some wholesome and healthy relationships that have God at the center of them. That's what matters. Say, Pastor, there's no one my age at this church. Pray them in. I don't see anyone for me to marry at this church. Pray them in. We need more young people in this church. Pray them in. Because the crisis in the church is nobody sticks with it anymore. Because we got options now. Well, if you don't please me, then I'll just run to the next door neighbor. Better run now. I don't mean that flippantly. I'm just saying that's not what God has called us to do. We're in relationship with one another. We fight with one another. I've got your six. I'm on your side. I believe you got my back and you're on my side. And we need one another. We need God doing what God does best. We need people. We need worshipers. We need drummers. We need camera operators. We need greeters. We need givers. We need youth. We need young adults. We need everything. Anyone have a dream? Anyone have a vision for some relationships, for some breakthrough, for some healing? You may be our next member. You may be the next person that Jesus saves in this altar. You may be the next one who is baptized in this church. It all begins with our yes. So, Father, I pray today. I pray today. Because here we are, Lord, people with passion, people with imagination, people who are committed, people who are full of your Spirit, people in relationship with one another. Just eight things we're reaching for and striving for and feel called to. We need your help, Lord. Because it's not just relationship with one another that matters. It's relationship with you that matters. It's your word alive in our hearts. Your Spirit taking residence in our lives. Help us today, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you